Well, here we are. It's Thursday morning. Welcome to my place, from wherever in the world your place is located. We're glad to have you with us for today's edition of the Panic Podcast. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. So run and grab your Bibles, and we'll get started. And right off the bat, I need to apologize for being a little bit late uploading the Bible study today. We got a new piece of equipment in, and there's a bit of a learning curve involved, and it took me a while to figure out how everything worked. Excuse me. So bear with me as we get this piece of equipment up and running. We are looking at what it means to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And just as a kind of reminder, the newer translations of Scripture, like the NIV, rarely use the phrase wait upon the Lord. The newer translations have opted for an alternate translation of that phrase, hope in the Lord or trust in the Lord. And technically, those are both acceptable translations of that Hebrew phrase. I prefer wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And we're going to discover why I prefer that phrase over the coming weeks of this study. And so far in this series, we've discovered two ways that the believer is to wait upon the Lord. First, the believer is to wait upon the Lord continually. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your word and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. All the day. So that's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. And that phrase actually means two things. You should wait upon the Lord anytime, in any situation. There never is a time in your life when you shouldn't wait upon the Lord. When times are good or when times are bad, you need to wait upon the Lord. You should be praying about anything and everything, and you should be expecting the Lord to reveal His will to you. It may not be right away, rarely is, but in time God will speak to you. God will answer that prayer as you wait for Him. And second, the believer needs to wait upon the Lord until the Lord tells you what He wants you to hear, or until He tells you to stop praying and start doing. And there is a biblical precedent for that. There comes a time when, you know, like the Lord told Moses, you know, stop it. Stop praying, get up, and go do something. And that happens. And last week, we found out that it takes a measure of courage to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's so important to wait on the Lord that in Psalm 27, that phrase is repeated twice. When you're waiting upon the Lord, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in to your fears or your anxieties. Okay, there's no virtue in fear. And it's a little sad that in today's society, fear is looked at as a virtue. It's looked at as a good thing. And if you are fearless and you don't live in fear, say of COVID-19, if you're not afraid of it, you know, people look at you funny. Or if you make jokes about COVID-19, people, you know, get all bent out of shape. Like you can't be humorous just because there's a flu bug around. And fear and anxiety is a terrible thing. They're both sinful. You know, Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. There's never a cause for you to be anxious about it, and it's sinful. Fear and faith cannot coexist in the same person. So don't give in to your fears or anxieties. You need to pray about that situation in your life that is looming large on your horizon, and you need to simply believe that God has heard you, that He is not only aware of what's going on in your life, but that He's in complete control, and that whatever His will is for you, it will be for your best and for His glory. So today, our third study, we're looking at Psalm 37. And the key verse in Psalm 37 is, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." That's Psalm 37, verse 34. Now, Psalm 37 is an interesting psalm. It's a psalm of David, but it really bears a closer resemblance to the Proverbs of David's son, Solomon, than to other psalms written by or attributed to David. Psalm 37 is really a collection of wise sayings or proverbs that a father might pass on to his son or a teacher to his student. It's also an acrostic poem. Every other line begins with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm is also noticeable because it is chock full of the traditional theology of the Old Testament. And that is that the righteous prosper and the wicked suffer on account of their sin. Now, that's Old Testament theology. That's not necessarily what the New Testament teaches. If all we had was this psalm and this brand of theology, we'd have a real skewed view of God and his sovereignty. This psalm is a good example of the importance of knowing the whole Bible and not just chunks of it here or there. A really good balance to Psalm 37 and the theology that it expresses would be the book of Job, in which the Psalm 37 theology, that is that the righteous prosper and the wicked suffer on account of their sin, is severely questioned by Job and eventually answered by God. And by the time, of course, you get into the New Testament, we have a fuller view of that Old Testament theology. And you might be able to say, generally speaking, good people prosper. Generally speaking, depending upon what your definition of the word prosper may be. Generally speaking, the righteous do prosper. The good people prosper. But we also know good people are persecuted. Christians are to expect a certain amount of persecution on account of their faith. That's what Jesus said. So you have this. You have to read Psalm 37 and understand that particular Old Testament theology needs to be balanced against New Testament teachings. Not that it's wrong, but the New Testament tends to balance it out. Now, Psalm 37 is a lengthy psalm, so we're not going to be looking at every single verse, although you should read every single verse. It is a beautiful psalm, and as I say, it is chock full of not only Old Testament theology, but a lot of wisdom. All right, so you need to read all the verses yourself. We're not going to look at every single verse this morning. This psalm breaks up neatly into four parts, and so that's how we'll study it. And we'll discover just what David meant when he wrote, "Wait on the Lord and keep his ways." So the first division of the psalm, I'll entitle it, "Do Not Fret." The first 11 verses, Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11. Let's read the first two verses, Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, that's from the New King James Version. It seemed that the prosperity of evildoers really grated on David. Have you noticed that? Many psalms ask that question, why do the wicked prosper? And it really bothered David, and it really bothered the Old Testament people. He and other psalmists wondered aloud about how it was possible that those who were so wicked were able to prosper. Why do godless people have it so well? Again, that's because of the Old Testament theology, what the Jews traditionally believed back then. That is, the righteous prosper, the evil are punished on account of their sin. And yet, real-world experience, David discovered, often showed the exact opposite. You probably have wondered that too. How come it seems like, you know, your neighbor who's, you know, is cheating on his wife and is a tax cheat and, you know, as a real slacker. How come he always seems to have a new car and you don't? Right? So we're the same way. We wonder about that. But as I say to the Jews of the Old Testament, this was a real source of discombobulation, because during this era, as I say, God promised his people that they would prosper and enjoy success in all they did. So before going too far, let me say that God does not necessarily make that promise to believers today. As New Testament believers, our hope is in heaven. It's not here on earth. But the hope of Israel in David's time was prosperity on earth in a land of their own. So you can see why the success of evildoers really bothered David so much, because it went against his theology, or at least it seemed to. Now, Asaph, in Psalm 73, he would come to the same conclusion David came to here in Psalm 37. Listen to Psalm 73, verse 27. "For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry." So there was no doubt that someday, the wicked would be cut down to size, that whatever prosperity they seem to enjoy today would be gone tomorrow. And I think that is a true statement. I mean, just look at all the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Pol Pots and the Che Guevaras all throughout history, and ask yourself, where are they today? Well, they were eventually overthrown. They were killed. They're all gone. And their empires, by and large, are gone with them. God never fails to deal with the wicked, but it's always in his time. It's never in your time. So instead of fretting about how well evildoers appear to be doing in the world, you should be doing something else. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. This is what you should be doing instead of fretting. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Don't get discombobulated with what you see, David is saying. Rather, you should be just trusting in the Lord and behaving in such a way as brings delight to God. One scholar put it this way: "One who delights in the Lord will have desires that conform to God's will for their lives. God will grant what they request." Isn't that nice? So the closer you are to God, the more, excuse me, that's not COVID-19, that's seasonal allergies. You know, speaking about fear that we were talking about just a minute ago, have you noticed how the media and politicians try to make you afraid of things? Have you noticed that? I tell you, I I'm just getting over this sumac all over my body because I was pulling weeds over the weekend, and it looks like I've got leprosy. It's terribly itchy skin, and it's finally started to clear up. I'd asked you to pray about that, and I'm assuming some of you did, because it's finally, after several days, starting to clear up. But ever since I have had the sumac all over me, and the seasonal allergies are killing me like they do every single year at this time, every time I open my weather app to check what the weather is doing, the headline is, are you ready for this? Is it seasonal allergies or COVID-19? I mean, talk about trying to make a person afraid, thinking they've got some flu bug instead of what they have. It's seasonal allergies. So if I occasionally cough or sniffle, I don't have COVID-19. I have seasonal allergies, which in my life is far more serious than any kind of flu bug. Now, that quote, let me get back to that quote. "One who delights in the Lord will have desires that conform to God's will for their lives. God will grant what they request." I love that quote. That's a money quote. You should write that down and not forget it. The closer you get to God, and as you wait upon the Lord, you will invariably grow closer to him. Your will will become more like His will. You won't even notice it happening until you look back, because it'll be a gradual thing. Your will slowly but surely conform to God's will. And you will be surprised at how quickly your prayers appear to get answered, because you will be praying according to God's will, and you won't even know it. Now, going back to verse 4, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land. Okay, this notion of dwelling in the land seems kind of odd to us. What's the big deal about that? Well, dwelling in the land was part of a promise God made to Israel. It has nothing to do with us today. We don't have any kind of promise of any kind of land, all right? But God's word is timeless, okay? And even though this psalm, this particular phrase, deals with Israel in David's day, because God's word is timeless, there is an application. There is an application of things promised to Israel for us today. We have not been promised land, but as you trust in the Lord and as you busy yourself living right and focusing on the Lord's faithfulness, you won't even notice those prosperous evildoers, but you will be enjoying the Lord and His blessings. And it's amazing that the less you look at them and the more time you look at Him, the more you will see God's blessings in your lives. Look at verses 7 and 8, Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. To rest in the Lord. Okay, now that is a different translation. Okay, it does not mean waiting patiently for the Lord. So, and here's why I say I prefer the older translations. We are to wait upon the Lord. That's one thing. But we're also told here to rest in the Lord. They're two different things, but you should be doing both. One involves being still in God's presence. Now, we do this after we've spoken to Him in prayer, after we've made known our requests. We are to sit peacefully and quietly and enjoy His presence, resting as we wait and expect Him to do His will. See, there's two things that are going on. You need to rest in the Lord, and then you have to wait upon the Lord. And in all, by the time we get to the end of verse 8, David has told us to stop fretting three times. Because fretting takes your eyes off of God. It puts you in a rotten frame of mind, and as verse 8 says, it causes harm. Yes, fretting causes harm, like its evil twin worry, can cause all kinds of emotional and spiritual problems, and also sometimes physical problems. You get headaches, ulcers, sleepless nights, and miserable days when you fret. There's not a good thing that fretting produces in your life, so just stop it. Just stop it. Replace the fretting with resting in the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. Second division, Psalm 37, verses 12 to 22, the Lord laughs at the wicked. The Lord laughs at the wicked. Psalm 37, verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked plot against the righteous. They're angry and they live to devour God-fearing people. They take up arms against the righteous, intent on destroying them. The wicked may think they're formidable, but God's response is what really gets our attention. He laughs at them. He laughs at the people we think are so strong. Now, it's not often you read about God laughing in Scripture, but this isn't the first time we read about laughter from heaven. In Psalm 2, verse 4, the psalmist says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. I absolutely think that God has a sense of humor. I think he enjoys laughter. We are told to rejoice. We are told to be joyful. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. I think God wants his people to be as joyful as he is. I think that when we get into heaven, we are going to be pleasantly surprised by the laughter and by the humor that is up there. And it's not that God doesn't take their nefarious plans seriously to harm the believer, because he does. But God can't help but laugh at their futile attempts to harm a child of God, because they can't. No weapon forged against you will prevail. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Okay? No wonder God chuckles at the ridiculous schemes of the wicked. And what's more, not only does God laugh at the schemes of the wicked as they try to take down the righteous, the end of the wicked is poetic. Psalm 37, verse 15, their sword, the sword of the wicked, shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. The wicked were intent on slaughtering you, but in the end, the wicked slaughter themselves. Just like the vile Haman who built, remember in the book of Esther, he built the gallows to hang the man of God upon and ended up hanging on it himself. That's the end of all those seeking to harm God's people in any way. Let that sink in for a minute. Let that sink in for a minute. Any politician or, you know, city father who seeks to do harm to a church or restrict the freedom of God's people in any way, it's not going to end well for them. It's not going to end well for them. The evil that they try to inflict upon God's people will come back and be inflicted upon themselves. Actually, we see that time and time again in Scripture. It's inescapable. It is inescapable. It's like the law of reciprocity. You reap what you sow. And if a non-believer is sowing wickedness in the Christian community, that's what's going to come back on him. He's going to reap wickedness. Psalm 37, verse 16, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. The little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. And that sounds just like a proverb, doesn't it? And here's a little perspective for the righteous man as he notices the prosperity of the evil. What God gives is always better. What God gives is always what's best for us. It may not seem as much as what the other has, but God's blessings last longer and go farther. Psalm 37, verses 18 and 22. Listen, verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall last forever. Verse 22. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Two important verses in Psalm 37 tells us that appearances are always deceiving. It may appear as though the wicked have the upper hand, but that is never the case. That is never the case. The wicked never have the upper hand, even if it seems like they do. The godly, the upright, never go unnoticed by God. And God has a plan for each and every one of them. The inheritance that's spoken of here is, of course, the land of Israel that God has given to his people. That's not a promise for us today. Ours is a different promise. God has promised to be with us forever, and we can depend on that. He's promised us an eternal inheritance, and nothing can ever take that away from us. God will make sure that his people from every age and every generation will receive exactly what he has promised them. He will take care of the upright, but he is forever an enemy to the wicked. Depend on it. Third section, Psalm 37, verses 23 to 33. God directs the steps of the righteous. Look at verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I love both of those verses for all kinds of reasons. Matthew Henry did too. Listen to what he said. This is a lengthy quote from Matthew Henry, but it's a good one. Listen. By his grace and Holy Spirit, God directs the thoughts, affections, and desires of good men. By his providence, he overrules events so as to make their way plain. He does not always show them his way from a distance, but leads them step by step as children are led. God will keep them from being ruined by their falls, either into sin or into trouble, though such a fall into sin will be sorely hurt. That's old-fashioned writing, isn't it? But it's good. It's good. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God directs a righteous individual, right? He influences the thoughts and the affections and the plans of righteous people. Very often, God overrules events to make the plans of the righteous come to pass. In other words, God opens all kinds of doors. God does not always show you his will up close. Sometimes it's way off in the distance. But God will get you there. God will get you there as you trust him and as he leads you, as Matthew Henry said, step by step as children are led. And when you stumble and fall, and you will stumble and fall, either into sin or just you get into trouble through no fault of your own, God will keep you. God will keep you. He won't let you go. He won't throw you over. I love that part because more often than not, I stumble into sin. And probably you do too. And aren't you glad that God doesn't just get rid of you because you fall into a sin? It will hurt for a while. It will hurt for a while, but God will restore you. God leads the righteous. He plans the best way for the righteous to go. But God knows we're weak. And if we occasionally stumble, God will never forsake us. And when we're too weak to carry on, the Lord holds us up and keeps us going. Aren't you glad that God never leaves you up to your own devices? Aren't you? Aren't you glad that he doesn't just leave you alone to let you figure things out on your own? Life is full of ups and downs, and the pitfalls are many. The righteous may fall, but we're never down and out. Fourth division, Psalm 37, verses 34 to 40, wait for the Lord, wait for the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. So those righteous people who have been so blessed by God and taken care of by him, are exhorted to wait on the Lord. And here it means you have to wait for God to act. Wait for God to act. It would be like you praying for something and then just waiting patiently and quietly in anticipation and expectation that he's going to answer that prayer. But now part of waiting is keeping. That is keeping God's way. Look at the first couple of phrases of Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. You can't sit around all day. You can't sit around all day. As a matter of fact, we're on, what is it, day 40 or 41 or something of our lockdown where you're not supposed to leave your house. You're supposed to wait, right, until our Lord and Governor releases us from lockdown. Well, releases you from lockdown. I'm not on lockdown. I'm out all the time. My lockdown lasted about less than 24 hours. I was climbing the walls. I figured it was better to take my chance than be stuck in the house all day. It's not normal to wait. It's not normal to wait. That's why the Bible encourages us to wait upon the Lord so often. But you can't wait all day. You can't sit around all day waiting for something to happen. Life is for the living, and there's plenty of living to be done, but you have to live God's way. So that's why it says, wait on the Lord, yes, and keep his way. The righteous will wait for the Lord to do his thing, even while they are doing his thing. Got it? It's possible to multitask like this. You can be waiting upon the Lord, but you must also live for the Lord. Okay? And that's the difference between resting in the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. Usually when you rest in the Lord, you are just resting in the Lord. You're patiently sitting in his presence. Waiting upon the Lord's a little different. You got to wait. You got to anticipate that he will do something. You got to expect that he will do something. But you also have to be doing things yourself, living for him. As God advances the cause of his people, the wicked are cut off. They will never see God's blessing. They will never enjoy what the righteous will enjoy. Really, the fulfillment of this verse for the believer will finally happen when the kingdom of God is at last revealed. Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Yeah, eventually, yes, that's absolutely right. That is going to happen. That is going to happen. It often seems like evildoers are on top. It often seems like those who don't deserve it are the ones that get all the breaks. But God's word advises us to wait patiently because the success of the wicked just won't last. And those who trust in the Lord will prevail. In the book of Revelation and other places, we are also reminded that God will ultimately destroy the wicked and bring his people to their reward. And you and I need to be calm and clear-headed as we wait for God to act. And we need to hope in the Lord and keep living right. Psalm 37, verse 39, as we bring this study to a conclusion, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? He is their strength in time of trouble. And trouble will come. Even as the believer is encouraged to be optimistic and to be positive and to rest in the Lord and trust in the Lord and not be anxious and fearful, there's also the acknowledgement that trouble will come. Look, you can't avoid it. Trouble comes to us all in one form or another. That's what happens when you live in a sinful and sin-cursed world. A lot of times, through no fault of your own, you find yourself in trouble. And that's hard to take. I know that's hard to take. It's happened to me. You know, it's one thing to get in trouble because of your own stupid decisions or something. And you can deal with that. You get mad at yourself, you know, and you figure out a way to get out of trouble. It happens, right? Because we're not geniuses. But boy, it really hurts. It really hurts when out of the blue trouble comes at you that you got nothing to do with. That you got nothing to do with. How do you handle that? Well, God is your strength. He will give you what you lack. He will give you what you lack. When you're facing a situation that you have a hard time handling, he will be your strength, and he will give you what it is you need when you need it. I mean, that's just a wonderful, wonderful problem. And that's the end of our third study on what it means to wait upon the Lord. I hope you got a little something out of it. And I apologize for coughing all over you. I'm going to have to go now and disinfect this windscreen on this microphone. Brand new thing, and I've got it all full of my germs. Listen, I've asked you folks from all over the world, if you have prayer requests, if there's something that we can pray about, in my church. Just leave it down in the comments section. Some of you have done that already, and I appreciate that. I'm always amazed at the number of people that listen to this podcast and come to this little website, as I say, from all over the world. I don't know anybody in Chile, but I mean, there's all kinds of people that come to my website from Chile. I don't know how they ever found me, but, you know, the internet's an amazing thing. And I don't know who you are, and it's unlikely that I will meet any of you in this world, but I want you to know that that I'm praying for you. Every click on my website, whether you're here, you know, to seek information, listen to a podcast, or make fun of me, I pray for you. I take that very seriously. It's a very big deal to me. I appreciate your prayers for me and for my church. This is it's a difficult time, but I do appreciate your prayers. And as I say, if you have a request of any kind, please leave it in the comments section. I won't put it up for anybody to read, but I'll read it, and I'll make sure that that it gets prayed for. I'll pray for you, and our prayer team at the church will pray for you too. We love to do that. It's just something that we really enjoy. Let's close in prayer today as we end this study. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being a part of our lives. We thank you for the prayers of your people. Prayer changes things. We know that prayer moves your hand. We thank you, Lord, that we are promised so much in your word. And your word says you're not slow in keeping your promises. It may be slow to us, but you're not slow. You are a God who keeps his word, and we appreciate that so much. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with each and every person who's listened to this podcast today. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint their lives so that they can go and live their lives and be an encouragement to other people. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to them, that you would reveal your will to them. For those who are a little down and discouraged today, I pray that you would lift them up. I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them and that they would start feeling better immediately as you touch their hearts. We love you, Lord, today. With everything inside of us, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thank you all. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. Go out there and make it a great day. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow for another Panic Podcast. God bless.